is Arch of ArcherRadio.com. Today is Friday, July 7th, 2006. Say hi, boyfriend.
I want to dedicate this song to Archer.
What's the song?
Lay, lady, lay. Lay across my big brass bed.
Who sings that song?
Eric Clapton.
Okay, well, you ready to call Homer?
Lay across my big brass bed.
We're calling Homer, okay? It is ringing and it's connecting. You haven't talked to Homer before, have you? Oh, I hope they can hear the ringing.
Hey, this is Homer.
Hey, Homer, this is Archer and the boyfriend.
Well, hi, Archer and the boyfriend.
Hello.
How are you?
Well, I'm doing just fine today.
What are you up to? You driving home from work?
I'm driving home to work. I'm heading south on Tucson Boulevard, and it looks like there's a giant thunderstorm coming towards me. We're in the middle of monsoon season, so
yeah.
It's raining like once a day here.
Well, I hope you don't get into any bad storm driving into it.
I hope I don't either.
Did you have
I'm starting to feel Go. If I get in a bedroom, I pull over.
That's a smart boy. Did you have a nice 4th of July?
Yesterday, I had 5 friends come over, and I had made a 4th of July cake. If you go to my blog, you can see the picture of it.
Yes.
And it came out pretty nice. It was a sponge cake with whipped cream and then strawberries in the middle and blueberries and raspberries on top, which I'm sure that the boyfriend would have loved.
Definitely would have loved that. It looks very patriotic.
Well, I'm a patriotic kind of guy. I support our troops. I mean, I've slept with a guy from the Army and the Navy and the Air Force. So.
Oh, good.
You're so funny.
I'm still looking for the Marines and the Coast Guard.
Well, that's the missionary spirit that I admire.
I'm like a living USO troop.
You are.
They call me the big mouth, like Martha Ray.
Like who?
Martha Ray.
Oh, Martha Ray.
Maybe.
Yeah.
I prefer to think of you as a sister of mercy, providing relief to those who need love.
Yeah, it's kind of like post-traumatic counseling.
Yeah.
Although it's post-coital counseling.
Did you do any counseling yesterday at your 4th of July party?
No, I was behaving myself. There was someone there that I wouldn't mind doing some counseling with. But I hadn't quite figured out if he's still with his boyfriend or not.
Well, you simply ask him, are you single?
Well, I'm going to actually send him an email asking him that question. Because I kind of get the impression that if he's not already, it's not terribly long to be.
Oh, okay.
But one shouldn't count your boyfriends before they're hatched.
That's true.
That is true. Now, do you want to just hook up with him, or do you see him as boyfriend potential?
He is boyfriend potential.
Oh, my. Yeah. Very good.
So here's the topic that I'm going to throw out at you.
Okay.
Okay, so Arizona is going through this process where they're raising petitions to put an anti-gay marriage amendment on the Arizona Constitution.
Yes.
And this amendment, if it passed, would also ban all forms of partnerships between same-sex individuals.
Uh-huh.
The thing is, it's likely it would not, in Arizona's Constitution requires that any ballot initiative only cover one topic, and it's likely that it will fail, you know. So they were going to actually turn over their 300,000 signatures today. But here's the ironic story. The woman that spearheaded this movement died in a car accident on Monday.
Oh, my.
She was a big far-right Christian. And it puzzles me, my response. It's like, I should feel sorry that she died, but I kind of don't. And I'm probably kind of a little bit guilty about that, but at the same time, I guess I don't.
You should not feel guilty because I think that, well, this is interesting that you bring up this topic, because that's the same topic I was going to bring up to you, because on yesterday's show, we were talking about basically karma and how people get what they deserve or
was... Well, it's not getting what you deserve, but I think it's, you know, when well, we're talking about Ken Lay. Ken Lay led a very, when you think about it, I mean, it looks as though he got away with murder by bilking Americans of millions of dollars. And yet,
oh, yeah.
When you think about it, that's very stressful. It's very chaotic. He was isolated. He was reviled by the American public. So he ended up living a very stressful life. I mean, was it worth it? Well, he dropped dead of a heart attack. And when I think of karma, that's what I think about. You know, if you're going to live a kind of life that's based on fear, intolerance, bigotry, dishonesty, deceit, well, you're going to reap that reward. So it might be, you know, this woman, I don't know the details of her car accident. Maybe she was speeding to get down to deliver those petitions. Or she was wrapped up in some kind of conversation about those goddamn homosexuals that she wasn't, she, her eye wasn't on the road. So... she kind of created her own consequence. I mean, you don't want to say that about folks, but you know, she kind of in her passion for intolerance and bigotry, it got the best of her. So, who knows?
What kind of distresses me to think about it is, okay, so if they pass this law, so she was in this car accident, so her family can go and, like, you know, take care of her, do whatever they need to do. If she had been a lesbian,
right,
and was killed off in a car accident, then the lesbian's partner would have none of these rights.
Very good point.
Yeah.
Very good point.
And the whole thing is, she was a Christian, and like the Christian people are all upset about her death, and I'm just like, well, I don't get it. I mean, if she was so Christ-like, why the hell was she promoting bigotry and discrimination?
Well, because they all share a very narrow definition of what it is to be
a Christian.
Christian, and it's, you know, this, the literal interpretation of this, you know, this book that is, you know, metaphorical at best. It's certainly not historically accurate, but you know, they can't get outside their narrow-minded box that they live in, and so you know, to them she's a hero. And they have, I mean, when you think about it, again, reaping what you sow, when you think about it, if you live in that kind of a world where your perspective is so narrow and you're afraid to get out of that box, you're afraid to experience or to ask questions or to even question the veracity of, you know, the Bible, for example. I mean, you're going to believe that the world was created in 7 days, yeah, and you know, dinosaurs didn't exist and all this. Well, it's very scary for them. So think of how they live. I mean... their faith is fear. Their lives are fear based, and this woman, her life was fear based. And so, who wants to be her? Who wants to live in fear? Well, you know, she.
Well, President Bush would like us all to live in fear. That's for certain.
Right.
Well, yeah. He's. Go ahead.
Go ahead. Oh well, I was talking. This is all sort of interesting because I'm not a religious person, but I've been having this internet feud with a religious gay blogger that...
Oh, that's right. How's that going?
He wrote kind of a half apology on his blog, but even so, he was like, Homer shouldn't generalize anything about the Bible since he doesn't know anything about it.
Oh.
And I'm like, well, how does he know I don't know anything about it?
Right,
exactly.
And I guess only Christians are allowed to criticize the Bible, so...
There's the hypocrisy.
I told Archer about... being called all these names on the internet, and
was this a gay blogger, another gay person?
Yeah, a gay Christian blogger.
Do you think he's a log cabin Republican too?
No, because he claims on his blog that he's a far leftist or something.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's not very. It's not very Christian.
Well, after being told I was mocking and insulting and superior and prejudiced and unenlightened, I got kind of sick of it.
Well, but again, it comes from a very narrow interpretation of you know, he's obviously decided that you know, a very strict interpretation of the Bible works for him. And you know, when you, again, it's fear-based. Because I have an interest in spirituality and religion, and I've taught comparative religions, and I've studied it in college. And to me, you become more enlightened about spirituality when you ask questions about, whether it's the Bible or it's the sayings of Buddha or the Quran or whatever, it leads to a different level of enlightenment because you're going beyond the literal word. You're having to read between the lines or understanding the parables, whatever. And for some folks, that's just very difficult for them to do because it's stepping outside of a comfort zone. So when you're dealing with someone like that, it's a no-win situation. You would win an argument with a wall.
And do you know how old this guy is, Homer?
I think he's in his mid-30s.
Oh, well, he's not very good-looking. I'm sorry to say. I just went to his blog, and I'm not sure that I can see the apology. Was it under on Mondays, the spirited conversation?
Yes.
Okay. I didn't
read it. Somewhere down towards the bottom, he talks about it, I guess.
Well, he says in this last paragraph, "Unfortunately, Homer has taken my responses as a personal attack, though I did not mean them as such."
Yeah, well, calling me prejudiced and unenlightened, that's kind of personal.
Oh, and then he does go on to say, "I hope Homer will accept my genuine apology since he thought I meant to belittle him personally, but I also hope that in the future he will temper his statements with the recognition that there are very few generalizations that can be accurately made about a group as widely diverse as the global faith community, and also that some of us are on his side." What the hell is global faith community? Is that just speaking in general?
I guess. I don't know. I mean, I'm done with the whole thing. I get the impression that he must have realized that he took his foot in his mouth.
Oh.
I mean, he's generally a nice guy, but like I said, I had never characterized him in any way, so...
Right.
Yeah.
Well, I'm telling you, sometimes controversy just swirls around you, especially with your blog.
Once in a while, I get caught up in the raucous debate about issues. You know, as a New York Times published letter writer, you know, that happens.
That's right. Did you know that, boyfriend?
I didn't know that.
Tell the boyfriend what you did.
If he goes, I don't know if you have a... You can get on the New York Times there. Last Wednesday, I had the top letter in the newspaper.
Oh, cool.
Because, and what were you talking about?
George Bush was talking about how disgraceful it was for the New York Times to publish that article about the SWIFT program. And I said it was just a disgrace that they're even raising this issue.
Absolutely.
You know, and, just in general, it wasn't even a very good letter, I didn't think. But it must have touched some chord in the letter readers there, and they liked it.
Well, but what you were talking about, what you were talking about earlier, it's, I think in general, I think what you're talking about is just we were just watching this program about polarization in America, and we're in a time of, I think our national, the psyche is very unhealthy. It's fear-based, and that's what I think George Bush has done. Well, not George Bush, Karl Rove and Dick Cheney have done very successfully. Is that we're all living on the edge of our seats? I mean,
in my letter, that's what I said. It was that the war in Iraq or the war on terror, whatever it is, has become a way to polarize the country.
Absolutely.
Would you like me to read your letter to the listeners?
Oh, if you'd like to, Archie, that would be wonderful.
Okay, it says.
Could you imitate my voice?
I won't be able to do that. It says, to the editor, Bush condemns reports on sifting on bank records. President Bush calls the conduct of the New York Times and other newspapers disgraceful for revealing a secret program to track terrorists. I say it is the conduct of his administration that is disgraceful. What started out as a war against a specific enemy, Al-Qaeda, has evolved into an unwinnable war against invisible, nameless enemies. This war is now a political tool, one that the Republicans have used to pit Americans against fellow Americans. The information being collected, phone records and bank records, how will we ever know that it is being used for legitimate purposes? Some people say the snooping is all right, frightened of the specter of terrorists. I'm tired of the promotion of fear and prying into our private lives. When will we return to normalcy? By Homer.
I know, it's very well put.
I completely agree. When are they going to get back to normalcy?
But that's really up to us. It's up to the American people. I mean, when we have finally had enough. And, you know, from what we hear and see and read, what we saw in this program today, we're not done with this living in fear. The political operatives, you know, like the Karl Rove, for example, are very expert at allowing us to live in this. I mean, there's a lot to gain out of making certain that we are living in a constant state of fear. So,
and I'm trying to remember what Roosevelt's quote was about the only thing we have to fear is fear itself.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And it's such a contrast. World War II was all about not being afraid and sacrificing for the good of your country. And this stupid war that we're in right now is all about being afraid and not sacrificing. You know,
exactly.
Like go out and spend your money on a new SUV.
Yeah.
And that's just stupid.
The part that really pisses me off is that people who say that if you don't support this war, you're not patriotic, or that you don't love America. Well, I'm sorry, this war is, you know, we shouldn't even be there in the first place. So I can't support it. You know what I mean?
No, from before it started, I was calling up the U.S. senators saying, don't do this.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
But, you know, it doesn't do any good. Unfortunately, I live in a state that's heavily Republican, and John McCain is busy trying to get to be president next time around. If I read one more time Andrew Sullivan yipping about John McCain and Joe Lieberman is the perfect ticket, I'm going to fly.
Yeah. Joe Lieberman? Is he kidding? Okay.
Well, and John McCain as Maverick. I mean, let's talk about that mislabeling.
Yeah.
I can't believe Joe Lieberman would be on a ticket again. Isn't he having a problem getting the renomination for his Senate seat from his own?
Oh, yeah, well, Lamont's giving him a run for his money.
I just can't believe that.
Here's a scoop on John McCain: is that he moved to Arizona specifically to get himself a Senate seat. Married a woman. He's been married twice. His second wife is a rich beer distributor heiress.
Oh.
And this, I think this Maverick stuff is just as much a show as George Bush's Texas accent.
Yeah.
You
know?
Yeah.
So, I don't know. I used to like him, and now I'm just sick of him. You know. Ugh.
No kidding. Well, let's move on to something different. So you're going to be coming to visit me in like 3 weeks, right?
Yes. I'm boarding the aluminum tube of death. And, you know, clutching my feet, arm rests the entire way, screaming in terror.
No. You don't...
Of course.
I thought... Go ahead.
I'm going to pretend that I'm you on the airplane.
I was
going to
say, I didn't think you were the one who was scared of flying. That's me.
No, I'm going to, like, role play you.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Well, here's my question.
And then they'll bring me peanuts, and I'll be like, could they be plain peanuts with nothing on them, please?
Right.
That would be me.
Yes, that would be you.
Well, listen, Homer, what are we going to do when you're here? Because the boyfriend and I were thinking about maybe one of those days going to some wineries. Is that something that you'd be interested in?
I don't know. I've never been to a winery.
Well, so then we should...
Wine at wineries?
We should probably take you to at least one, then.
I think one would be sufficient.
Okay. So one of those
There's
days...
a possibility. If we do that, we might go have to grab my friend Pat, who lives in... I think he lives in Burke, or is that nearby or something?
Uh-huh, that's not too far.
And drag him with us, because I'd like to see him while I was there, and I know that you guys would find his company very amusing.
Okay. That's no problem at all. We can do that.
Okay.
What else do you want to do while you're here, though?
Well, I want to do a little wine tasting show with you guys. I'm going to bring, see if I can't find a couple bottles of wine from Arizona.
Oh, now that would be interesting.
Bring them.
That would be very interesting.
And of course, you know, I don't know, boyfriend, how much you know about me, but I have a funny sense of humor, so... I might have to go to the store and buy some local wines that are available at local stores.
Okay.
And have like a blindfolded taste test.
Oh, okay.
And then for Archer, come on, Molly. Molly's out getting wet. She's got to come inside.
Molly's the dog.
Molly's the dog, 14-year-old hound dog. And so, and then for Archer, I thought we'd have a little, maybe a boyfriend and I could cook up a few little dishes and have a taste.
Ooh. Oh, and not tell them what's in anything.
But,
yeah.
But see, I said
what they are.
I don't think I'll agree to that.
Oh, I think you'll have to.
We'll see about that.
I'm flying in the aluminum tube of death all the way from Arizona, so I think I have a little say, don't I?
Well, a little.
I think
bit.
That's an excellent idea. As Archer struggles to overcome his food fears.
Well, I know that you probably have a hard time keeping him out of the rhubarb and celery and
Lately, it's asparagus. Lately, it's asparagus.
Asparagus and prunes.
Archer, does your urine smell funny when you eat asparagus?
It does when I pee on the boyfriend.
Oh.
Nice.
Oh, you are so...
I didn't know you were into WS.
Oh, yes. I'm big into WS.
Yes, and Archer's wildest dreams. And some of them are quite wild.
I do have some wild dreams. So, anyway... what was I saying?
Well, I think you were saying that in one of your dreams, I was startled to hear you say, "More asparagus, more asparagus. I want artichoke."
More asparagus with horseradish sauce.
Oh, absolutely.
Is that how you eat it, Homer?
Oh, I just jam it into any orifice on my body that's handy.
Oh.
So you use it for sexual pleasure then, huh?
Well, an asparagus
My whole body is just one sexual organ, Archer.
You're nasty.
Oh, I'm in a peculiar mood, I guess. I'm at home and it's raining. Up until this last week, it hasn't rained in Arizona since October. So.
And now it's raining a lot.
It's raining every day now. Here's Vince.
We've been having.
Hi, Vince.
Oh, do you have someone there?
Oh, it's my Vince was in my guest house is coming in,
Oh. And
he's asking me if I have some butter. He's like the neighbor.
Oh, should we let you go?
Oh no, it's fine. He's getting his butter.
Okay.
I don't know what he's going to do with the butter. He's making pasta. Oh, he's putting sauce and garlic on.
Oh, yum!
Bye, Vince.
Bye, Vince. Okay, so what was I saying now?
We were talking about food, flying tube of death.
Well, what else is new with you? Because I think the last time we talked to you, you were in an anti-man mood.
I seem to have recovered from the anti-man mood, and there's a couple people that I'm interested in dating, and we'll see what happens there, and...
And are you having any sex?
I plead the fifth.
I plead the fifth. Well, very funny.
There's a couple of prospects, boyfriend prospects all of a sudden. So.
Oh.
So my flip flopper is being a little bit exciting. But, you know, I don't want to jinx it by saying anything like that out loud because, you know, the moment you say it, then it, like,
yeah.
doesn't work. So.
Exactly. So just keep it quiet.
Yeah.
Well, listen, we're going to let you go. Thank you for letting us chat with you.
I think this is the first time I've actually spoken in person to the boyfriend.
That's what I said.
Yeah, I think so, too.
Yeah. You'll get to...
Well, I can't wait to meet you boyfriend in person.
Oh, and, same here.
And maybe you'll get to see him naked.
Well, oh my God! Maybe you'll take pictures of boyfriend and I naked together.
Maybe.
No, I don't think it's too far.
Oh, I don't know about that. We'll think about that.
Well, you know, Archer is very voyeuristic.
I am very voyeuristic. So.
My God, you're a voyeuristic person.
I am.
Well, in 3 weeks or so, I'll be on your doorstep.
And we'll have you live on the show then, too.
Oh, I just had an idea. Right. We could take pictures of Archer nude with various vegetables and fruits.
No.
And Arthur can be doing crude things with the fruits and vegetables.
It was just that Austin Powers movie. Remember those? Where at the very end, he and the girlfriend are like talking about stuff and holding up fruits and vegetables.
Yes.
Yes, but yeah. Archer would have to be nude.
All right. Let's wrap this up, please.
Oh, this is a very interesting conversation now.
Well, we have to wrap it up. But Homer, anyway.
Okay, well, Archer and boyfriend, I'll be seeing you in 3 weeks.
Great. Okay. We can't wait. Thanks so much for being on the show.
Okay. Bye.
Bye-bye. All right. That was our conversation with Homer. That's always fun talking to Homer. All right, boyfriend, do you have any last words you'd like to say?
Archer in the nude with a zucchini.
Where would the zucchini be?
I think the zucchini would be cooked in your own special personal oven.
That's gross.
And then it would be ingested by Archer after the cooking process has been completed.
That's really gross, honey. All right.
Haven't you heard? I have a food fetish.
Oh, lovely. Well, let's wrap this up and say...
Eggplant next.
Say, we hope that the
cucumber?
All listeners
can
have
you a, say...
I'm going to turn your microphone off.
Oh, you will not. You
watch
will not.
Me.
Oh, you controlling.
Oh, it's turned off.
Help!
Don't scream.
Turn my microphone
it's
on.
It's back. Shut up.
I'm starting to assert myself.
Okay. Now say goodbye and have a nice weekend to all the listeners.
Goodbye, Mr. Eggplant Man.
All right, boys and girls, thanks so much for listening and have a great weekend. And we'll talk, or you'll hear us on Monday. Until next time.
Bye.
Bye.
Archer.